you think your world is safe. It is an illusion. A comforting lie told to protect you. Enjoy these final moments, for I have returned.
So, shall we begin?
Run, Lily! Buckle up! It's showtime!
Everybody talking about gun control. Gotta get rid of the guns. Not that, I like guns. You got a gun, you don't have to work out. I ain't working out. I ain't jogging. You got pecs, I got pecs. Oh, man. You don't need no gun control. You know what you need? We need some bullet control. We need to control the bullets. That's right. I think all bullets should cost $5,000. $5,000 for a bullet. You know why? Because if a bullet costs $5,000, there'll be no more innocent bystanders. Yeah. Yeah. Every time somebody gets shot, they be like, damn, he must have did something. They put $50,000 on the bullets in his ass. And people are safe before they kill somebody if a bullet costs $5,000. Man, I would blow your fucking head off if I could afford it. I'm gonna get me another job, I'm gonna start saving some money, and you a dead man. You better hope I can't get no bullets on layaway.
And a long vacation it was. A long vacation it was. As many of you know, Mary killed a reindeer, or may have killed a reindeer. We have not gotten a ballistics report back. We've not heard from the reindeer since. But on Christmas Day of all days, coming home in the darkness of night, it was only about 6 o'clock in the evening, but it was pretty dark. And we were I forget what town we were in. We were in Manassas. In Manassas, Virginia, going to visit relatives, or a relative, coming home from visiting relatives. On our way home, and all of a sudden, out of nowhere, the best way for me to put this is that it was a crap load of deer running across what would be considered a highway to most. So not a lot of lights on this road. Yeah, it's a parkway, best way to put it. You do about 55 miles per hour on there, and we saw one guy in an SUV swerve and miss one. Mary, as soon as she said it, she said, oh, look at that deer right there. She starts to slow down because she knows that if there's one, there are probably more. But it was too late. We were probably doing about 35 miles per hour, and that son of a bitch hopped right in front of us. I'm almost certain that the reindeer was blitzing. It had to be blitzing. Maybe Prancer. I'm going to go with Prancer on this one, because that son of a bitch got back up and ran back across the street. He ran back across the parkway. That's why I'm going to call him Prancer. Because he hit, and I have to put this in perspective, folks. When Mary hit him, and let me tell you this. We have audio. We have audio of the accident. Well, we don't have to tell why. We have audio of the incident. I was on the phone, and all of my phone calls are recorded. You heard me last year. I record everything. I don't care who it is that I'm talking to, friend or foe. And we were on the phone with a family member talking, and it's all caught on audio. We will put the audio up so you can hear it. It happens. It was awful. I think we got jinxed by one of our family members. You'll hear that on the audio as well. But you're going to hear Mary scream. Mary screamed really, really loud. But what you'll really hear, and I'm not trying to pat myself on the back. Pardon me for a second. I might break my arm here. You'll hear Reese on the radio never lose his cool. Never lose his cool. And I'm definitely afraid of getting into a car accident. I never lose my cool. And the audio proof is there. Now, anyway. So Mary hits the deer. Yeah, whatever. Mary hits the deer. Bow. Right on the front. The deer literally bounces backwards about a good 7 feet away from the car when she comes to a full and complete stop. When the deer hits the ground, under his belly and his legs are flipping around like he's going into convulsions. Mary can't deal with that vision because she thinks that the deer is dying right in front of her. She doesn't want to witness the murder of this deer that she is culpable of. Well, yeah, fine. It was a suicide, I'll admit. Manslaughter, if you will. But anyway, this thing is scraping on the ground, flipping out, flailing around. Mary cannot deal with the sight of that because she's wondering now, is it going to die? Is it going to die? Is it going to die? She doesn't want to witness that. That will haunt her forever. But the son of a bitch, Prancer there, just starts scraping until he finally gets up. All the traffic at this point has stopped, and this son of a bitch just scampers back the way it came. It was as if the reindeer put a hit out on us. That's okay. We took care of his ass. But you've seen the pictures on Facebook. We did post them. If you haven't, please look them up. It happened on Christmas Day or Christmas night. We still don't have our car back. We got a Malibu? What are we driving? I'm not allowed to say?
Figure it out on your own if you don't know the type of car that you've been riding in the last
year. No, I'm talking about the rent-a-car.
Oh, yeah, a Chevy Malibu.
Yeah, we're driving in a Chevy Malibu, all white. It's a nice little ride. You know, if you're a pimp or a drug dealer. But that was the biggest event of our holiday. Folks, if you're just joining us, it's 7 minutes after the hour on this Reese on the Radio, January the 3rd, 2013, our anniversary show. As many of you know, it was a year ago today, was when we first officially started broadcasting on Blog Talk Radio, along with Mary, Mary, Why You Buggin', JC the producer, and a host, of course, of other people who have joined the show, White Mike, Edward in Connecticut, Sally D in Massachusetts, and Dennis the Mass Menace. We've had calls and conversations with plenty of people over the past year. We've actually gained some impressive numbers over the past year, well over 25,000 listens on Blog Talk Radio over the year, which is impressive for an online show. And you know that we're going to continue to grow and do more and more impressive things this 2013. I used to hate odd number years. I used to hate them. But I've learned over recent years to love them. Okay, so boom, 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 Sally D hits the room. I have to really introduce him like that now?
Yes.
Okay, fine.
Boom, 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 Sally D hits the room.
Yeah, I'm going to try not to say that. God bless you, Sal. It's just too much. Everybody's got a short moniker. What? I'm sure it's hilarious, but it's just too much to say.
No, it's not.
Okay, fine. Well, you have one vote, Sal.
That's his introduction when he comes on to the show.
Fine. Well, I will introduce him as boom, 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 Sally D hits the room. Because my wife told me to. I'm such a nanny. I'm such a ninny, I should say. Turn me into a punk bitch, this woman has. Yeah, you have. Yes, you have. But we'll get into that later. Folks, we got plenty of news to talk about. Of course, what has happened over the last couple of days, or weeks for that matter. I'm not going to get into the fiscal cliff crap. That's just a mess in and of itself. There's no reason to talk about that. That is all over the place right now. I'm sick of it. I'm sick of our news being dominated by these talks. It's finally over and done with. The Republicans, they, you know, they bitched up. They gave the president what he wanted. Was it $41 worth of taxes for every $1 in cuts? Doesn't matter that your Social Security is going to go up 2%.
And you're not going to get a raise, but everyone in the government got a raise.
Yeah, you're not going to be able to get a raise, but everyone in the government got one. But I heard that was turned down.
What?
I heard that was turned down. I heard that they voted against that.
No, I heard that was true.
We'll look into that. Into whether or not that was approved. There were plenty of stories that happened over the last couple of days. The nigger conversation is still fresh in everyone's mind because of the movie Django Unchained, which I understand is not doing well. JC, go to boxofficemojo.com and tell me what the numbers are for Django. Because I've not heard anything. I mean, what's interesting is that this movie came out on Christmas Day. It had been promoted for weeks before Christmas. Interviews by Jamie Foxx, interviews with Quentin Tarantino, interviews with Samuel L. Jackson, interviews with Leonardo DiCaprio. That's what you got at Box Office Mojo? Okay, so you got 82 million?
82 and over a quarter million.
All right, what was the production cost? It should say it right under it on the right-hand side. Because I'm sure this movie didn't cost $100
million.
Production cost $100 million? All right, well, Mary's looking that up. Okay, so the production budget was $100 million. It's made $82 million. Okay, now, what I want you to do on there is go to the daily numbers. There's a piece on Box Office Mojo that says daily revenue. It says how much money the movie made on every particular day. And it will tell you by percentage points, whether or not it was a negative or a positive. In other words, if the numbers went up or it went down. Now, what's it? The movie's now, and I think technically we're just looking at a little over a week old.
It's a negative every day except for 2 days.
Okay, so the last couple of days? We're wondering what. So it's been in the negative. Tell me how the numbers broke down for Christmas Day on to New Year's. For Christmas Day, which is Tuesday.
$15 million on Christmas Day.
Right. $15 million on Christmas Day.
$10 million the next day.
$10 million, so it went down.
$8.3 the next.
So it went down again, $8.3.
$9.6.
All right, went up.
$11.3.
$11.3.
$9.4.
$9.4. $5.1. Whoa, really went down. What day was 5-4?
New Year's Eve.
Okay, so New Year's Eve, it went. Okay, so most people are not going to go to the movies on New Year's Eve. So $5.4 million on New Year's Eve. New Year's Day?
9-2.
Okay, it went back up on New Year's Day, 9-2.
Now down to the lowest at 4-5.
Okay, so now it's down at 4-5. All right, it's on pace to probably get that.
It'll.
Well, down 50.7% doesn't mean that it's not going to make it. If anything, the movie will make the money that it costs to make, which nobody makes any profit off of it. But $82 million is still a good number. But usually, that number is great when the movie that you made costs you anywhere between $30 and $40 million to make. A $100 million budget, and you haven't reached that yet. Most films do that when it's a successful film. They do that in the first 2 weeks. So it's not doing impressively well. I don't think the controversy has hurt it in regards of the N-word controversy. I think more people want to see it because of that controversy, just to hear how much the N-word is used, and because of the backlash by people like Spike Lee, the backlash by, well, actually, Spike Lee has pretty much been the only one who's had any backlash. Has there been anyone else? I don't think that there's much of anyone who's come out publicly and argued this film as much as Spike Lee. I mean, was there anyone else? I mean, Spike Lee said that slavery was not a spaghetti Western. Now, Donnell Rollins from The Chappelle Show says that it's a feel-good movie because it's a black man killing whites. That's what he said. I mean, I'm pretty sure he's considering that the greatest movie of all time. I just read a report that Samuel L. Jackson and Jamie Foxx were teaching Leonardo DiCaprio how to say nigga and to say it with feeling. Leonardo DiCaprio had issues with saying it. And Samuel L. Jackson was getting pissed off. Because I know why Samuel L. Jackson is getting pissed off about that. Because he believes that all whites say the word nigga when they're not in the public view, when they're amongst their friend. But see, he doesn't know that Leonardo DiCaprio is good friends with people like Q-Tip. In fact, from what I know, he and Q-Tip from A Tribe Called Quest are best friends. They're very close. So I know Leonardo DiCaprio would have a problem with using the word nigger. Not when he's got a lot of brothers as homeboys. But Samuel L. Jackson thinks that everybody says the word when they're amongst their, you know, their own group. She couldn't understand what's the issue. Come on, just say nigga. Come on, you can say it. He's happy with people using the word. And as you know, earlier last year, we talked about Nas, rapper Nas, who didn't have a problem with Gwyneth Paltrow using the word nigga. Real niggas in Paris was the tweet she put out along with a picture. She put out with a picture of Jay-Z and Kanye West on stage in Paris. And rapper Nas said that he would slap the ish out of somebody who said something bad about Gwyneth Paltrow. She gets a pass. Now, I don't know who it is in the country who gets a pass. Well, who's white who gets a pass from saying the word nigga. I know Quentin Tarantino uses it as often as he can. He loves to. I'm pretty sure you guys remember how often he used it in Pulp Fiction. You know, talking about the dead nigger in his car. He loved using it. Samuel L. Jackson is, you know, it's all. You know what I'm saying? You know, man, I understand, man, where you're coming from. You know, your wife's going to be upset, you know. I was like, why would you bring a dead nigger into my house? And people didn't have a problem with that. That was okay. Because it's art. I think, personally, stop beefing. Just stop arguing. It's the state today where it's going to be used, and let's not give anybody any grief about using the word. I don't want to hear another news report about some politician or some radio program or anything of the sort using the word nigger and causing outrage. All you have to do is argue now and just say that it's art. It's just art. I'm using it artistically. You know, those niggers in Chicago can't stop killing each other. I'm just, that's what they call themselves. That's what they call each other before they pop a hot one in them. That's exactly what they call themselves. I'm only using it for the purposes of, you know, keeping in line with their language. That's all. I wish the niggers would stop killing themselves. That's what I'm hoping. As the mayor of this city, I would like the niggers to stop shooting themselves. You're better than this, niggers. What's the beef? What's the beef? I can't use the word. Apparently I can. Because Quentin Tarantino can use the word, and I can use the word now too. It's just sickening. I think it's sad. But that's where we are today. That's where we are today. And we're going to get into that discussion today. What is the state of our union for 2013? Where are we headed? There were plenty of stories in the news this past week, today even, of stories that have clearly shown that America is not going to be the same place that we knew 236 years ago, or 236 years prior to this one. That the entire makeup of our country is going to completely change. And the psychos have taken over the asylum. And that will be a proving ground for many people in this upcoming year. The sad part about it is that there's no more time for complaining. We can't complain anymore. All the complaining has to end. Websites that show videos of people and liberals doing stupid things, that's not enough. That is not enough. Things have to be done. And this sounds weird, but I am going to suggest when we come back that conservatives, right thinkers, even radical right thinkers, they do something extremely liberal in order to get this country back on track. There is a way to do it. And it's sad, but it is true. Now, I mentioned this on Facebook about my New Year's resolution. And there has to be a call to arms. There has to be a change of philosophy. We have to start attacking these liberals the way liberals attack us. That is how you get rid of them. This is how you expose them. This is how you destroy them. And I'm going to use the gun control argument to make my point. Because there is a way to destroy these morons by fighting fire with fire. And forget about that whole idea about being better than or above the fray, as if, you know, not to get your knees dirty here, not to get scuffed up. There's a way that we can do this. When we come back, I'll break that down to you when we return right here on Reese on the Radio. Happy anniversary.
What a waste of time. This all crossed my mind, but I never missed a beat. Can't explain the who or what I was trying to believe. What would you do? What would you do? Do you know? I once had a grip on everything. It feels better to let go. I'm not over. I'm not over.
Don't go anywhere. You're listening to Reese on the Radio right here on blogtalkradio.com.
Wow, we're in stereo?
Radio, and we are back live 29 minutes after the hour right here on blogtalkradio.com. It is January the 3rd, 2013, the anniversary of our first show last year in 2012. We're happy to be back. Took a little two-week vacation. I would like to say that it was eventless, but I guess it was. I would say that it didn't have a lot of events that happened. It just had some things that went on, but it was quiet nonetheless. Mary and I have had to deal with severe colds over the past couple of days. She's sicker than a dog. I, on the other hand, am just recovering from a cold. I still got a little bit of a cough, which she gave to me on New Year's night. That let me tell you something, folks. Truth be told. When your wife is sick, and you know she's sick, she was sick since Monday. Your wife is sick, and she comes home, and then the tradition of New Year's Eve, the ball drops, it's 12 midnight, your wife looks over at you, and you know, it's a tradition, you know, you kiss your loved one, you kiss your wife, Happy New Year. Now, what do I do instead of freaking out because I don't like germs by saying something like, you know, like forwarding the cheek, Happy New Year, honey. Okay. No. I go full on sloppy wet one. I know she's sick. I know she's not in the best condition. But I kissed her because, of course, I think that I'm immune to getting sick. Now, she doesn't want to lie down in our bed, so she wants to sleep on the couch because the couch is much more comfortable when she's not feeling well. So what do? After I go on this full-on sloppy one with the missus, I get a blanket and a couch pillow, and I lie on the floor right next to her, trying to be a good husband. I don't want to sleep in the bed while she sleeps out on the couch. I want to be right there with her, and I do. I'm not going to lie. The floor is freezing, but I try to get as warm as I possibly could. Anyway, I wake up the next morning hacking a lung, for crying out loud, ladies and gentlemen. It was like I just walked right into it. And so I was sick for about 24 hours, and that's where I am now. All right, let me get back to my point. If you were with us in the last break, or you're just joining us now, I said that there was a way that we can deal with where our country is going in 2013, because I know where it's going. You folks can claim that you know. You folks can claim that you do know, or where do you believe it's going to go, or where you're fearful it may go. I know where it's going to go. You see, aside from the fact that Obama won, it's bigger than that. The media won, the left won, the leftists won. The lunatics, they won. And they're beating their chest, folks. They're beating their chest. So, what are we going to do in order to restore order? Well, look, I'm sorry. Guys like Media Research Center, I love you. But that posting videos of people doing outlandish stuff in our media and in Congress and in the Senate and the President, those days are over. They got us nothing. The Media Research Center, who, again, like I said, I love and I respect, with everything that they were able to garner, with all of the video and audio evidence that they were to prove that these leftists are insane, it got nothing done. Now, that's enough to say to each and every one of us, we got to move on. You know, what do we do now? It obviously means nothing. Well, the truth is it does mean nothing. It means nothing. So we have to go liberal. Now, I played this audio a lot last year, folks, and you know it. I know it. I played it often enough. I'm sure you remember this. Let me see if I can find it real quick. It's, come on. I know it's here. Now I got to go searching for it. Let me look this up. There it is. This is the audio.
What are you prepared to do? Everything within the law.
And then what are you prepared to do? If you open the ball on these people, you must be prepared to go all the way. Because they won't give up the fight until one of you is dead.
I don't know how to get him.
Here's how you get him. He pulls a knife, you pull a gun. He sends one of yours to the hospital, you send one of his to the morgue. That's the Chicago way. Now, do you want to do that? Are you ready to do that?
And that's what we've got to ask ourselves as conservatives. Are we willing to fight fire with fire? The liberals, they've already queued this up. They've already queued up the Chicago way. President Obama has already queued up the Chicago way. And that's the way he's dealing with conservatives here. He is going for blood. And now we've got to stop doing this whole BS about how we're better than that and how we do things the right way. Now, I'm not saying, again, I'm not suggesting doing anything illegal, But we have got to do, we have got to use the tactics of the left in order to get them recognized for what it is that they're doing. It's not about posting videos. It's not about Breitbart exposing them on their blog. It's no longer about that. Those days have passed. It did not work. Now we have got to put the pressure on the media. The people who have kept many of our public in the dark. It must be forced down the throats of these liberal and media elites that they must report these stories. Now, there was a time, folks, I'm sure you remember, guys like Bill Maher, he's a liberal hero because he gave Barack Obama $1 million to his, you know, to his super PAC. They didn't think he was so much of a hero when he was on ABC on Politically Incorrect, when he suggested that the murderers on 9/11 were not cowards for flying planes into buildings. What happened? America stood up, they fought back, and they got this liberal off the air. Now, of course, he ended up over on HBO again, which in essence was the station that he left to go to ABC. He thought he hit the big time. Goes from a paid network to a free network. He gets fired and goes right back to the paid network. And he's still spewing his liberal nonsense. But look, he's on HBO. No one's watching that network. They're not, folks. They're not. Don't let anybody fool you. Nobody's watching it. The man's in obscurity. That's right. People can't afford to have HBO. They get basic cable. That's about it. Nobody's watching it. But now we have to go on the attack. Now there must be a coalition of people like moveon.org, whatever. Move on. What do? They try to get Rush Limbaugh off the air. Well, it doesn't matter because they never ever succeed. They get like 10, 12 people to show up in front of a station in Washington to get them off the air. It didn't even work. But conservatives? Come on. The Tea Party? With the numbers in the Tea Party? Couldn't they start ripping into these media outlets and forcing them to report on news that's happening? I found it incredibly odd. The first black man voted into the Senate was not covered by ABC News. NBC covered it. I didn't see CBS because no one watches them anyway. We have to start ripping these people. We have to start infiltrating the places where liberals get their news and forcing these people to report the news that matters, that counts, and stop doing this fluff.
Well, that counts
to everybody. Well, exactly. Of course, the stuff that counts to everyone, not this leftist spin. And when they do, we can't just put it up on videos and let people watch it. Oh, I can't believe. I understand that people believe that if they watch these videos, and I know that's the consensus here, they believe that if they watch these videos, then people will say, oh, man, they're doing that over in ABC, NBC, and CBS. I'm not watching them anymore. I know that's what people believe. It doesn't work that way.
Start looking at those channels like they would look at current TV now that Al Jazeera owns.
Well, I was going to get into that. What I found incredibly odd today, that there was no huge outrage that Al Jazeera bought current TV. A terrorist network. I don't care what anybody says. A terrorist network spent. They don't care about greenhouse gas. That's bogus. There should be outrage, and we should force these people at the networks to respond. And when they don't, see, this is my plan. You go to these networks, you pick up the phone, you record the conversation. It has to be one of these big media types. Big media types. and you get a conversation with one of these people, and you talk to them about not reporting certain news items, and you hear what it is that they have to say. If they refuse to answer, they say, that's incredible. Brian Ross, he goes to all of these places, and Brian Ross is from ABC. He is their lead investigative reporter. Lead investigative reporter. And he will go right in the face of all of these people and start asking them questions, you know, about things that they've done. Is it true that people are doing this? Is it true that people are doing that? That's what needs to be done. Go down to ABC, NBC, CBS. Start getting in the faces of Brian Williams. Start getting in the face of Scott Paley. Start getting in the face of Diane Sawyer. And asking them questions and see how they respond.
Don't forget about your favorite.
Who's my favorite? Who's the, I don't know, who's the, I don't know who the dumb Spanish chick is. There's a dumb Spanish chick?
Yeah.
That's on nightly news?
That's on regular news. What is her name? On morning news.
I don't.
What's the dumbass's
name? On a. Who's the network? I mean, what network is it?
NBC, I don't know. ABC, who the fuck is?
I don't know who the Spanish chick is.
The dumb fucking Spanish chick that asks all the fucking wrong questions.
That's not coming to me. I don't know who the Spanish chick is. Anyway, we'll take a call. The number is 347-308-8701. Who's on the line?
The Masked Menace.
Hey!
Happy anniversary.
Thank you, sir.
I found a little tired. I've only been sleeping 20 hours, so it's okay. So you're saying it is not, the word is, it is not, getting a senior moment.
It's okay.
Yeah, it is not satisfactory, is the best word I could think of, to say, I believe. You must say, I fight.
Yeah, forget about that. It the belief thing.
Of course, you don't know who said that. Ich führe, sondern das Schwur, ich kämpfe. That was Hitler.
Hitler. That he was says, I don't believe I fight.
Mm-hmm. So it's not enough to say, I believe in the movement. I must fight.
But
sometimes even a blind squirrel gets an acorn.
Think of,
I don't want to be quoting Hitler.
Of,
you know,
is, this is going to sound... This is going to sound awful in a sense, but think of the successes of that behavior of people like Stalin, like Lenin, like Hitler, for at least the limited time in which they did it. I mean, we're looking at Hitler, who was able to influence people with that sort of ideology.
This being and the 80th anniversary year at the end of the month of the seizure of power.
Right.
It's well interesting to study what happened, why, and the end result. We have to ask ourselves, do we really want to go that route?
Well, we're
or should we say, look at, I said, look, we can't sit on our hind legs and hope and pray that a video from Breitbart is going to solve the day. It's not.
Well, it won't.
In that genre, I'm thinking of the man who posted on Facebook, was suspended for a day. He says, in case you want to see, and of course you don't want to terrorize these people, here's where the editor of this particular newspaper lives, and you might want to call them and say how disappointed you are that they posted the names and addresses of everybody in Westchester County who owned guns. He says,
right.
Remember that one?
Yes, I do.
2 weeks ago?
Yeah.
Are you suggesting something of that nature?
No. Here's what it is that I'm saying.
Okay.
When we look at the language of the left or the tactics of the left, the one thing that conservatives have been doing is been avoiding. Like, Sean Hannity is a perfect example of this. Sean Hannity always says when he hears Bill Maher say something outrageous about Sarah Palin, he always comes on his show and says, I don't believe that he should be fired. He has the right to free speech. F that. Because liberals, and you can sit up here and say, oh, you know, you're trying to say to them, look, I'm better than you because I would never call for your firing. F that. Call for his firing. That's what they would do to you. That's what they would do to anybody else. And that's the way we need to. If what's good for the goose is good for the gander. The hell with all
so
of this idea.
I was going to say, when you're talking about free speech, then you would feel like Justice Marshall when he said there is no right to yell free speech in a crowd of theater.
But the bottom line here is that I've seen many people today choose to play the background on issues or on issues or things that are happening in our daily lives that are changing the scope. See, the fact that we don't fight back, there is no fighting back.
What you're saying
is,
in a nutshell, the whole show is we're not the victim anymore. That's it.
Yeah, we're no longer playing the victim. Right. In essence, I'm sick of, you know, I'll use an old adage, I guess, that most of us have learned. If you've lived in any blue-collar household, it's the best way to put this. You know, my mom, and I'm sure plenty of other moms from blue-collar, if someone hits you, you hit them back. And now I'm seeing more and more people being hit, roughed up, beaten up, and they're just sitting around just going, oh, man, what they did to me was wrong. That was just wrong what they did. And not fighting back. They're choosing to just be passive about this. And I don't know. I mean, the Ronald Reagan era was a perfect example of hitting back. You know, when someone does something to us, it was, you've got to let people know that under no circumstances will we tolerate that. You know, I told that story last year about Ronald Reagan. I'm sure you've all heard it. Was that when he fired the entire, air traffic controllers.
Air controllers.
He fired everybody. And they asked him, why would you do that? Are you crazy? And he goes, no, but that's exactly what I want them over in Russia to think.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I want those people to think that, you know, it prompted in Russia for them to put on the cover of the biggest Russian newspaper a picture of Ronald Reagan with a cowboy hat and spurs riding a missile. I mean, scaring everybody about America. But, I mean, he wasn't offended by it. Sure, leftists thought that that was an extreme vision of these United States, and they didn't like it because people are going to think we're warmongers, and I think that's where the whole term started. But the bottom line is...
Don't we wish that people thought we were warmongers now?
Yeah, of course. I mean, more people would leave us alone, for that matter, if they knew we had the testicular fortitude to knock somebody out if they tried anything.
Or when he really drove them nuts, when he said the Soviet Union is going to end up in the ash heap of history. They are the focus of the world's evil. That drove them nuts. No one ever called them out like that before. Gerry Ford sure didn't.
Yeah, no one had ever done that before. But now we live in a politically correct society. We're calling... Remember how they treated George W. Bush? Remember,
Bush didn't want to chortle that we won the Cold War. He said it wouldn't be gentlemanly.
Well, absolutely. But what about the way that the media treated George W. Bush with the axis of evil?
Mm-hmm. Oh, that Bush. I'm talking about the first Bush.
Well, yeah, I was talking about George W. when he used the term axis of evil. But the media had a field day on that. And the axis of evil is why would anybody say that?
Because they are evil to begin with, and they don't see it because they are the same. Let's call it for what it is. You're dealing with a cosmic fight.
But that's why the new frontier has got to be forget about posting videos catching these people saying the most outlandish things. It gets us nowhere.
Care.
Exactly, they don't care. But the bottom line is that there must be an attack, and the attack must be, I mean, we have got to follow the tenets of liberalism to get them where they hurt. It's the only thing that they can respond to. It's the only way that they'll respond to it.
I mean, look, I don't watch Dancing with the Stars, but the visceral hatred when Sarah Palin's kid went on that show, I mean, you know, this is where they live.
Well, of course that's where they live. But, again...
And they live in the pocketbook.
Well, again, this is where we have to start kidding those people. The days of being passive are over. This election was a clear example of that. We watched presidential candidate in Mitt Romney be completely lambasted by the left, by the media elites. The things that they said about them resulted in, I think it was the Yahoo News guy, he got fired. He was hired at another organization in less than 6 months. I mean, I don't think it even took 2 months. David Chiffin, he was hired at another organization within months. It meant nothing. People are talking about Matt Lauer is soon going to be kicked off the Today Show.
Why?
He'll end up at CBS. They're saying is Matt Lauer's ratings are horrible. Of course, Good Morning America is whipping their ass. It doesn't matter. Ann Curry, fired from NBC. Now I hear she's vying for Anderson Cooper's spot over on CNN at 8 o'clock.
There's another guy that should be fired.
Whom?
I mean, him and whatever the hell he had, the appendage on New Year's Eve, I heard.
Oh, Anderson Cooper with Kathy Griffin?
Mm-hmm. That's the appendage.
Yeah. Well, Kathy Griffin, again, no big deal. Mm-hmm. Nobody called it a big deal. Now, I want you to consider
what
one thing.
What the hell are the morals?
But no. I want you to consider one thing, okay?
Yeah.
I want you to consider what Kathy Griffin did on national television on CNN with Anderson Cooper, right? Goes on Letterman, right? Goes on Letterman. And then suggests that she was trying to give him a BJ on Letterman the next day, right? Says that that's what she was planning on doing. Harken back to the early 2000s and Janet Jackson with Nipplegate.
Yeah.
And a guy like...
The malfunction.
Right. Who was the one person?
The ball guy was the cameraman, the cameraman, or the guy in the control booth.
No. The one person who led the outrage was the head of the FCC.
Mm.
Michael Powell, Colin Powell's son. He was doing all the talk shows the next day talking about how he was outraged. And it ended up costing CBS some $250,000. I think it was $300,000, maybe even upwards of $300,000. Well, no, he was watching with his – he was watching the Super Bowl with his daughters because they like Justin Timberlake. And when it happened, he was outraged. But again, this is –
for personal reasons, again.
Well, yeah, but the bottom line is, this is the guy who's the head of the FCC, and he took them to court for years, Viacom. He took Viacom to court for years till he finally got that ruling. But the bottom line is, this is the attitude of the left. This is what it is that they do. And they got plenty of coverage about it. Now, Kathy Griffin does this on CNN, and where are we today? That is not as offensive as what Janet Jackson did? No buzz? No reaction? No outrage? This woman tries to give, well, in essence, simulates oral sex on national television. No outrage? FCC silent? That's the state of our union today. And that's why, I mean, if we to sit idly by, it doesn't matter whether or not that sells. For us to sit idly by and push the video on numerous websites to express our outrage is not getting the job done. They know it's going to outrage people. We get it. But that's not where the road ends. It cannot be, as most people say, it cannot be a snippet in the news. It cannot be common fodder for the day. It's got to advance to something else. And that's why I say we have got to take on the tactics of the left in order to attack them back. It's the way that they respond. Now, I'm using...
In other words, you want people to read Alinsky.
Say again?
You want people to start reading Saul Alinsky?
Read Alinsky. Why wouldn't you? You read the literature of the enemy. But no. Let me give you a gun control argument here. Where, as Ted Nugent said on Piers Morgan, where have we seen low crime rates? in areas where people have guns, where we see higher crime rates, in areas where people don't have guns. So where do you think you're going to get change in this country when people start fighting back with the same weapons that are used against them? That's it. We have to take their tactics and use them against them. If they're the ones that are sitting idly by, go to places like Move On and start using and adhering to their tactics to attack them back. They'll have no win. It'll be a no-win scenario for them. We got to sit up this whole idea that we're better than that. No, we're not. We're not better than that. We're sitting idly by like punks. And we're letting ourselves get slapped in the face and we're complaining about it and posting the videos on YouTube. That's not effective. That is not action. It's not. It's no way in the world is that ever going to get us where it is that we need to be as a country. It's not going to happen. It's just not. It's sad, but it is true. And I think that it's time that we start doing that. Tea Party's got that much power? If the Tea Party's got that much power, they need to start using it effectively. Yes, they're getting people into office, and I know that's an effective way to get things changed. But now it's got to be stage two. Stage two has got to be something new, something innovative, something real, something tangible. That's the only way we're going to get these people to get it together. It's the only way. Trust me, I know that this can be done. But people have to stop working in this whole idea that they're, you know, that it's impossible to do. It's not impossible. Don't worry, I'll show you. It's 2013. I'll show you how to do it.
Hello, America. I'm Chuck Woolery with today's Save Us Chuck Minute. My fellow Americans, there is no doubt that it's tragic when anyone takes the life of another without cause, but to blame assault weapons would be like blaming airplanes for the 9/11 attack. The problem lies with the perpetrator, not the gun. So why should we have assault weapons? Number one, the Constitution. It's still the law of the land, and the Second Amendment says I have the right to bear arms. Number two, it allows for people to protect themselves even from the government if necessary. Lessons learned from living under King George. Number three, the threat of armed citizens deters foreign invaders, like Japan in World War II, who feared we would have a rifle behind every blade of grass. Number four, all guns are dangerous in the wrong hands, so it makes no sense to selectively ban some. Number five, the gun industry employs about 184,000 people. Ban the guns, those people become unemployed. Or isn't unemployment a problem anymore? I'm Chuck Woolery. To talk to me directly, go to Twitter at Chuck Woolery.
Devastating to your ear.
I love it. I love it. L-O-V-E-I-T.
You're listening to Reese on the Radio right here on blogtalkradio.com.
Let me ask you a simple question. Why do people go to war?
To ensure their way of life.
Would you go to war to do that?
I have.
And if you went to war again, who would it be against?
Huh?
Your ability to fight a two-ocean war against who?
Who? Sweden and Togo?
That time has passed. It's over. The war of the future is nuclear terrorism. It is, and it'll be against a small group of dissidents who, unbeknownst perhaps to their own governments, have blah, 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 blah. And to go to that war, you have to be prepared. You've got to be alert. The public has got to be alert, because that is the war of the future. And if you're not gearing up to fight that war, then eventually the act will fall, and you're going to be out in the street. And you could call this a drill. You could call this job security. You could call it anything you like. But I got one for you. You said go to war to preserve your way of life. Well, Chuck, this is your way of life. And if your spy satellites don't see nothing, if there ain't no war, then you could go home and prematurely take up golf, my friend. Because there ain't no war but ours.
Goddamn right, there ain't no war but ours. State of the Union, folks, for 2013 is a big question that I know a lot of people are asking themselves. What can we expect in the next year? Predictions abound. I mean, pretty much anybody I know has got a prediction about what's going to happen for 2013. Well, 2013 is going to be the biggest argument ever for gun control. That much I know. That's what we're going to see for the next year. May last 6 months, who knows? But it will be the case. They will be talking about gun control for the next year. Immigration will be back. I understand in March there's going to be a new provision that's going to pretty much say that illegals can get into the country by, pretty much by any means, but they're going to use things like they're married, hardship, things of that nature. It's another wild case. Another thing that I think is going to happen this year is we're going to see poverty at new lows. Now, listen. No. Poverty at new lows. Now, let me clear the air on what it is that I'm talking about here when I say new lows. Poverty at new lows is that you're going to see people do things because of poverty that are the lowest of lows. The lowest of lows. For instance, the story about the woman who tried to buy iPads with her EBT card. I'm sure you folks know that story. I'm pretty sure you know that there are people out there who are selling EBT cards for, you know, a little bit of money. You know, people are using EBT cards for all types of insane things. But the fact that getting out of jail, exactly, we're going to see poverty do some of the lowest things in the world. We're going to see stories of poverty-stricken people going to extremes, folks. That's going to be a big story in 2013. You can thank the president and his administration for those things. That will be big. But here's a story I think should be really, really big. Here's a story I think that a lot of people should be talking about. And if we can get more people to talk about this, I would be happy.
Hammer time.
That's right, folks. Hammer time.
Hammer time.
You know what it is that I'm talking about. The headline reads, FBI says more people killed by hammers and clubs each year than with rifles. According to the FBI's annual crime statistic, the number of murders committed annually with hammers and clubs far outnumbers the number of murders committed with a rifle. This is an interesting fact, particularly amid the Democrats' feverish push to ban many different rifles, ostensibly to keep us safe, of course. However, it appears the zeal of senators like Dianne Feinstein and Joe Manchin is misdirected. For in looking at the FBI numbers from 2005 to 2011, the number of murders the number of murders by hammers and clubs consistently exceeds the number of murders committed with a rifle. Think about it. In 2005, the number of murders committed with a rifle was 445, while the number of murders committed with hammers and clubs was 605. In 2006, the number of murders committed by a rifle was 438, while the number of murders committed with hammers and clubs was 618. And so the list goes, with the actual numbers changing somewhat year to year, yet the fact that more people are killed with blunt objects each year remains consistent. For example, in 2011, there were 323 murders committed with a rifle, 496 murders committed with hammers and clubs. That's still less than the shootings that happened in Chicago in 2012. While the FBI makes clear that some of the murder by rifle numbers could be adjusted up slightly, when you take into account murders of non-categorized types of guns, it does not change the fact that their annual reports consistently show more lives were taken each year with these blunt objects than were taken with Feinstein's dreaded rifle. Another interesting fact, according to the FBI, nearly twice as many people are killed by hands and fist each year than are killed by murderers who use rifles. Wow.
Hammer time.
That scares the hell out of me. Now, wouldn't that scare people if they knew that? Wouldn't that scare people if they knew that? How are you going to get rid of somebody's hammer? How are you going to do it? What are we going to shut that? Why didn't Home Depot stop selling hammers? How many? Hey, JC, where are you? I haven't heard from you all day. We got to get you on the line. JC, are you there?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Can we find out how many hammers are sold yearly? Do we find that out?
In the hood or?
Oh, just anywhere. Just the sale of hammers. Per year.
I can understand hammers in a Mexican hood because they like to build shit. I mean, build things.
Well, hold on. First of all, you know why people use hammers to commit crimes, okay? It's the closest thing to you. You know, if you don't have a gun, you're going to use a hammer. You know, I mean, you're going to use a blunt object. You know, there's so many people without a handgun. If they have the, you know, I don't know how many people have used. I mean, doesn't the mob use hammers often? Isn't that their deal? I mean, I want to go a step further here, folks. I want to go one step further. According to the FBI, burglaries accounted for approximately $4.8 billion in lost property in the U.S. last year, with almost 2.2 million burglaries committed. This means that the average loss per burglary was $2,185. Some cities see more burglaries than others, and Yahoo Homes is listed the top five here, reported by CNBC.com. Now, here's what it is that they get. All of the information here is based on recently released data from the FBI's Uniform Crime Unit. The FBI defines a burglary as an unlawful entry of a structure, such as a home or an office, but not a car, to commit a felony or theft. About 60% of burglaries in this report were forcible entry. The most recent report is based on 2011 data. According to the report, New York was number five. New York is the most populous city in the U.S., and one of the main cultural centers of the world during the 1970s and 1980s, the city was considered more afflicted by crime than any others. But it has been dropping steadily since the 1990s.
the reason the New York Times said had baffled the experts as recently as 2011. Still, no city is immune, and New York had 18,159 burglaries in 2001. Phoenix, oddly enough, was number 4, according to the Census Bureau. The 2011 estimated population of Phoenix was approximately 1.5 million. Mirroring the trend across the nation, the city has seen a decline in the crime rate, particularly with respect to its once epidemic rate of car theft. It experienced 18,666 burglaries in 2011. Third on the list, Dallas, Texas. Dallas, the center of the Dallas-Fort Worth-Arlington metropolitan area, and an area which has a gross metropolitan product of $374 billion, according to the Bureau of Economic Analysis, of the 61,859 property offenses committed there in 2011, 18,000 of them were burglaries. Wow, that's a large number. Chicago makes number 2. Chicago is the third most populous city in the U.S., known as Chi-Town and the Windy City. It has had a world-famous criminal element since the days of Al Capone. But like the rest of the country, the crime rate has been on the decline since the 1990s. Stop lying. Still, the city saw a whopping 118,239 property offenses in 2011, of which 26,420 were burglaries. So their numbers, 26,420. The number one city, folks, was Houston. Now, somebody correct me if I'm wrong here. Isn't Houston a real ghetto? I mean, isn't that where you know, all of the gangster rappers from Jay Prince to what's his name? Scarface and all those rappers, the Ghetto Boys, isn't that the area they're from? JC, he'll be able to tell me that. JC, is that where the Ghetto Boys are from, Houston area? JC doesn't. Anyway. Houston is best known for its location of NASA's Johnson Air Space Center, or Space Center, and Mission Control. It saw 108,336 property offenses in 2011, of which 68,596 were characterized as larceny theft, and 12,281 were motor vehicle thefts. The remaining 27,459 were burglaries, which put the city at the top of the list. So if you live there, lock your doors when you go out at night. Lock them when you're in the goddamn house. That's what I say. To hell with all that. Lock the doors when you go out at night. Lock them when you're in the house. What are you, morons? Idiots? These people are breaking into your house? You suggest that the best thing to do is lock them when they go out? Is that the only time when people break into your home? Are you kidding me? Home invasions? Right? That's a big thing right now. That's a huge thing right now. Anyway, that's insane, but that's the numbers, folks. That is the numbers. So, those numbers are insane. More hammer murders. Hammers.
Hammer time.
Well, that was a little slow. What was that about?
Hammer time.
I don't know what the hell that's about. Anyway, there's some other news, other views that we need to get into. Of course, we have to talk about the first black man to enter the city's construction, why nobody's talking about it, and how the NAACP, Ben Jealous of the NAACP, is pretty much calling him an Uncle Tom. I mean, like it or not, that's what he's calling him. He's calling him Uncle Tom. He doesn't believe in civil rights, Tim Scott. And here's Ben Jealous,
who's telling us, I don't know, what a real black man is supposed to be like. Which scares the hell out of me. Apparently, he knows better than the rest of us. Well, we'll talk about that when we get back. Stick around. We'll be back. We've got more to talk about. And, of course, we've got more to discuss about our anniversary and what we're going to be doing this year for 2013. It should be fun. So stick around. Don't go anywhere. If you're going in there, okay, come on back. Maybe you've got some other stuff to do. I don't know what it is that you might be doing. But don't go too far. All right? Stick around. I appreciate it if you stay. Where the heck? See, this is what drives me crazy with this system over here at Blog Talk Radio. I'm having some issues with this. Especially when I'm looking for something that I need. It's always a problem. Anyway, we'll be back. Here's some Tom Petty for you. We'll turn. It's Resonant Radio.
Tall and she grew up right with them Indiana boys on an Indiana night. Well, she moved down here at the age of 18. She blew the boys away, it was more than they'd seen. I was introduced and we both started grooving. She said, I figured, baby, but I got to keep moving.
What is my bidding, honest?
Don't go anywhere. Reasonable Radio returns right here on blogtalkradio.com.
Kicking lyrics right through your brain when you hear the sign to be right as rain.
All right.
If you wanna know the real deal about the three, we're gonna take it with triple trouble, y'all. We're gonna bring you up to speed.
Check it out.
Cause I'm a socializer, prime provider. Ain't selling out to advertisers. What you get is what you see.
Come
and
on.
You won't see me in the advertising.
Do you like to party, not drink Bacardi? Cause I'm not looking cheap, don't work for nobody. No, from a steal, who really wouldn't deal? This is like having a dentistry meal.
And well, who in the crowd? Well, that's a must. I got someone that
we'll go for fun.
If you
wanna know
the real deal about the three, we'll let us tell you we're triple shuffle, y'all. We got to bring you up to speed.
Here's one for the patrons at the upper tier. Put the town on them for cheer. If you wanna jump on Mr. Belvedere, run this rap game like I'm blinking a deer.
I got kicks on the 1, 7 and 11, snares on the 5 and 13. Rhymes all the time and that's the given. We're hot on the disco scene.
Take a second,
go down with the army, got to stop stinging. The problems at the origin. You got lyrics that have got me cringing. You're like a fish, right with your damn engine.
If you
wanna know
the real deal about the three,
well, let me tell you what triple trouble, y'all. We're gonna bring you up to speed.
Check it out.
Bam!
Super nature, goddamn. Surround on the microphone.
Go.
26 minutes after the hour right here on Reese on the Radio on blogtalkradio.com. It is January 3rd, 2013. Happy New Year to each and every one of you and yours, your friends, your family members, your dog, your cat. Hey, by the way, I don't know whether or not you guys saw this video. Mary and I watched it yesterday, but see if you can find it. It's a video of this poor girl on Match.com. Oh, it's eHarmony? Okay, Mary says it's eHarmony. I thought it was Match.com. You sure it's eHarmony? Okay. All right. All right. Thank you. Anyway, it's on eHarmony. Mary's a little irritated every time you say something to her. It's like her being sick is like a thousand periods. It's the best way to put it. Yeah. Anyway, you have to watch it. eHarmony, this girl, it's been all over Facebook. I watched it yesterday. Mary and I watched it yesterday. The girl goes ballistic over cats. She just goes nuts. And a friend of mine, Dion, posted it on Facebook, and I didn't repost it. I think I reposted it. I may have, but I'll repost it and let you guys see it yourself. Just go to Reese on the Radio on Facebook. I don't think she's going to hook up with anybody. A scary story that I heard. Today I heard this story that I think should frighten each and every one of us at the State of Our Union for 2013. And I'm looking at the picture of this little boy, and he's six years old. He's an adorable little muskrat. When you look at his picture, and if you do look up the story, it's in Maryland. Look at the little boy. The kid probably wouldn't, he probably wouldn't hurt a fly. This came out of Silver Spring, Maryland. The story that WJZ is reporting, debate is raging over whether a six-year-old Maryland boy should have been suspended from school for pretending to shoot someone with his finger. The gun shooting gesture by six-year-old Rodney Lynch to fellow students just days after the Connecticut school shootings got him suspended. I went to my desk, and I got I went to my desk, and then I got scissors, and then I just pretended it was a gun. He was sent to the office, and the school called his parents about the behavior. The school warned he could face suspension if it happened again. It did. Twice. Just pointing his fingers like this, he said, the pow sound. I just went like that and then got sent to the office again. The last incident involved a first grader, but both say that they were just playing around. Lynch's family is appealing the school's decision to suspend him. It's on his permanent record. They are saying he threatened a student, threatening to shoot a student. He was just playing. No, that's what the father's asking. Parents at Roscoe Nix Elementary are divided over the school's action. I think that was a little too harsh to do to a six-year-old, one said. I wouldn't expect someone to do that to my child, and if they did, I would expect some type of punishment, said another. I know they feel they must do something, but I'm just saying. That's a bit much for a six-year-old. In a letter to parents, the school called it a serious incident that a first grader had threatened to shoot a student just days after the Newtown shooting. Rodney Lynch's parents are asking that he be reassigned to a different school. He's already served his one-day suspension. Are they out of their minds? To make matters worse, an Illinois Denny's in Belleville. The police chief there, Bill Clay, is ordering that his officers get their pancakes from anywhere but Denny's, calling the restaurant political stupidness.
Oh my God.
The new orders came after a New Year's Day clash between five detectives and one Denny's manager. The department says the detectives were out of uniform, but wearing their badges, when manager David Rice asked them to either leave or put their guns in their vehicle. Rice told detectives that one of their weapons, specifically a female detective's gun, was making other diners feel uncomfortable. As the officers were leaving without their food, General Manager Michael Vann walked up and corrected the manager and said it was fine for them to stay. But the officers said it would be too awkward, and they left. Denny's corporate office has released an apology saying Denny's policy permits law enforcement officials to carry their firearms in the restaurant, and we regret any misunderstanding.
This isn't a misunderstanding.
An employee at the Belleville Denny's didn't want to talk about the confrontation with KMOX, but some Denny customers said the presence of police and their guns was not an issue. The state of our union, folks. That is the state of our union. Let's go to the guys. Edward in Connecticut.
Hey, happy anniversary, man.
Thank you, sir.
How's it going?
It's going pretty well so far. Do you think that this is where we're headed now? Is this where we're going to head right now?
I think that thing at Denny's was maybe just an overreaction from some soft liberal who saw somebody with a gun, and you know they think every gun is just some loose bomb that's going to go off at any moment and start killing someone on its own.
How would that justify it? Think about this. This is a guy walking in with a gun present in Illinois. These are people walking in with guns visible, right? Probably in holsters, on their hips, with their badges out. He confronts them with guns. If he had any fear, right? If he had any fear or threats of life, right? Or threats of violence, would the manager have walked up to them and asked them to leave? No. So there couldn't be a misunderstanding here.
I'm not saying it's a misunderstanding. What I'm saying is, from the story, from what I gather, it was customers that felt uncomfortable. And the problem we have today is people think they're supposed to feel comfortable, and everybody is supposed to, you know, just bow down to whatever makes them, that individual person, feel good. So that person who complained thinks that they have some right, just because they don't like seeing the officer with a gun, to tell it all, you know, to tell the management, oh God, I feel uncomfortable with those people over there with the gun. And what's the manager supposed to do in that situation? In a restaurant, he could say, hey, you know, if you don't like it, get out. They get bad reviews from that person. Or he can see if the police officers want to, you know, cooperate, and, you know, because of the soft, you know, liberal who's crying like a little baby, wetting his pants.
So you believe that now I want you to look at this from a different aspect. We've got law enforcement officers, right, who come to a Denny's to come eat. Pretty sure there are a lot of them that come there to eat. They for the places, you get a lot of food, you know, for less. Some of them do. Some of them eat for free. And this guy walk in, and this guy says that someone said that they're uncomfortable with police officers carrying guns. Now,
sure.
If what you're saying is true and accurate, if there's a fact that's what someone complained, isn't that person a moron?
Exactly. That's what I said. That's exactly what I was saying. That person's a moron.
But, I mean, at what point, I mean, do you believe that people are so fearful of guns that they don't even want them in the hands of people who are responsible with them?
Sure.
I mean, that's a little extreme.
Yeah, there are extreme liberals out there. You know, they think that, you know, police officers, you know, are really just social workers. They shouldn't carry guns at all.
And telling them they should leave them in the car, that's what I find odd, because if there are police officers in there and they put their guns in the car and decide to eat at the Denny's and that place is robbed, and the cops can't thwart a criminal now because their guns are outside.
And they just tell the guy, hey, tough luck.
Yeah, exactly. It's pretty much tough luck. You know, we'd rather have a criminal walk in here with a gun than have law enforcement walk in here with guns.
But these same people are fighting against having armed, you know, security people in schools. You know, they don't want security people. You know, they think every gun is an automatic problem.
Do real? I mean, I don't understand that. I've never spoken to anyone who has said to me, or at least can honestly answer the question of how guns are responsible for people's behavior. I've not heard it once.
Because they think that if you have a gun, you're more brave than...
What, you're saying they got gun muscles?
Yeah, you have, yeah, just like you have deer goggles.
And I think sometimes what liberals do is they mistake their own mental problems for problems that everybody else has. I've definitely spoke to liberals before who would say something to the effect of, I don't want a gun in my house. I don't know what I would do with it if I got angry. Well, really, you're talking about your own emotional and self-control issues, not other people's, and you're projecting those on other people.
Oh, which is what liberals do every day. I mean,
exactly.
The object is to project. You know, what I think people would do is what people would do, you know, without question. I believe, I know if I had a gun, I would shoot somebody, and that's what anybody would think, because I know better than everybody else. It's a disgusting proposition. It scares the crap out of me. It scares the hell out of me that this is what this is. The fact that a young boy, a six-year-old, would be suspended for just pointing his finger and going pow, and would suggest that that is a threat.
And did you hear about the girl who got suspended for writing a poem about the Connecticut shooting?
Right. What was that, Edward?
Did you hear about the girl who got suspended from school for writing a poem about the Connecticut shooting?
Exactly. Now, where was that girl from? Was that in Chicago?
I think that was California. Let me look real quick.
Yeah, because I remember that story, saying that she understood what Adam Lanza was going through, which is a very interesting point of view coming from a young black woman in a high school, young black girl in a high school.
You know, I don't know if you did. Would you get a chance to read the poem?
I read part of it that was in the news report. Do you have the poem in front of you?
No, I'm looking for it. But I'm going to say, I did read it earlier, and I really didn't find anything so terrible about this poem that this girl had to be suspended. I've seen rap lyrics that are much, much worse than that, and poems from these goth kids, you know, that are much, much worse than that. So, you know, people are just scared and overreacting to every little thing that happens that a kid does these days. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, exactly. Now, see, here's the thing about that young lady's poem that I found alarming, and why it should have been paid, why it should have been rewarded and not reprimanded, was that what she was talking about was mental issues, about being bullied, about feeling like an outsider. You know, she said, I went through that. I felt like that. I understand where he's going. The fact that she understood him. Now, if that's because the school has set its parameters here to say, look, Adam Lanza is to be demonized. Demonized as a villain, a devil, a monster, and that's the extent of it. For me, when I read this story, the one thing that ran through my mind was that this is the problem that we've had with guys like James Holmes. I forget the guy in Arizona that shot Gabby Giffords, his name. But, you know, these stories, no one wants to deal with the mental issues of these shooters, of these mass shooters. And here is a girl who says, not that she in any way is an advocate for him. She's saying that she's been there, and here it is that I'm telling you that I understand where he's coming from. I probably wouldn't commit those crimes, but I feel what he was going through and what he may have been going through of being ostracized. And here's where somebody can say, well, maybe we need to delve in this a little more. What is she talking about that is frustrating her that makes her associate with somebody like Adam Lanza? Instead, what they do is, oh, they ostracize her, exactly what she's exclaiming in the poem. They ostracize her and kick her out of school. Go ahead, Mary.
Who's to say that that's what he was going through? He's dead. Who the fuck knows what he was thinking?
Yeah, nobody knows what he was thinking, but
you know why they don't want to deal with mental illness? They don't want to deal with mental illness because it's
are dealing with the carcinogens that they're putting in our fucking food that are making people mentally fucking ill. That's why they don't. There is food. Mental and physical wellness is associated with food and everything else that goes into our body. It is a proven fucking fact. It is a proven fact. And that's why they don't want to have to start dealing with that.
Go ahead, Edward.
So I had to put myself on mute for a second.
Yeah,
you know, it's a really sad situation with this girl. Rather than being helped, you know, maybe, you know, she could use some guidance counseling or something like that, and she's getting thrown out of the school. You know, just because I think these people are hypersensitive and they want to cover their ass. And plus, she's a young black girl, so who cares anyway?
Yeah, exactly. And that's, again, another point that I was making in the beginning of the show. A story like this got barely no attention. I think I saw it on Drudge Report, and the people who were commenting on the story were outraged because here was an opportunity to deal with a girl with mental issues, and you, in essence, sent her right over the edge by being suspended, by saying, we don't want to hear you, we don't want to hear your point of view, Adam Lanz is a monster. If you agree with
him,
right, if you feel like him, we need to ostracize you too. You need to be removed.
We'll do the same thing that we did to him.
Exactly. Exactly.
But nobody knows that.
We'll alienate him. Right. What'd you say, Mayor?
But who is it? Who are these people to talk about what he was feeling and what he was going through?
Well, no, she doesn't have any idea.
I'm not talking about her.
Right.
I'm talking about everyone else.
Well, if you notice, there's not been one conversation in the mainstream news about what this young man went through. When they found out that he was borderline autistic with Asperger's, they didn't want to touch that. They didn't even want to bring it up. Not because of the fact that there's been no recorded case of people with Asperger's doing something violent, but they didn't even want to discuss it. They didn't even want to bring up his condition, what he was subject to. Well, if you think that his mother was a psycho, if you really think that his mother was a psycho, I would consider this, okay? She was, if you really read her bio, it turns out that her views are very similar to White Mike's. She was a survivalist. Well, what do you think she's being a survivalist for? Not just her, but also for her son. And she's teaching her children.
You taught your son how to kill you, you dumbass.
Well, you'd think that she would have known that. She got no impression that that's what it is that he would do. We don't even know whether or not Adam Lanza snapped. And we'll never know because the only person that had any access to him on a 24-hour basis is dead, and that's his mother. Now, no one else has come forward. I'm stunned that no one else has come forward. Does she have any close friends or family members? I don't know.
Well, where's his father on his body?
Well, his father's already claimed the body, and he's set for burial soon. His father's claimed the body, and, you know, they're moving on. You know, it's...
They had already moved on.
Well, yeah, apparently they had, because they had not dealt with... That's another thing. You know, this boy was pretty much abandoned by his brother. Hadn't seen him in 2 years. I don't know when the last time he saw his dad. But why is it that people believe that we should not talk about mental health, mental wellness?
For the same reason why people didn't talk about the sugar.
Well, they talk about sugar now.
No, now.
Well, it's a big issue now.
But people weren't talking about when they have experience. They weren't talking about mental health. They weren't talking about the sugar. They weren't, because it's like an omen of some sort to people.
Well, to me, that's...
more people today that suffer from mental illness than there was probably at any time in the history of the United States of America.
Well, you may believe that these stories do not get reported on for the obvious reasons, and I think your reasons you're saying is because there's an abject fear of discussing it. Right. You believe it.
Because if you talk about it, then
oh shit, you gotta acknowledge that you might be suffering a little bit from that shit too. Depression, mental illness.
Well, we're all suffering from degrees of depression.
Exactly.
But it doesn't.
But depression can drive people to kill other people who are killing themselves, or animals, or whatever.
Hmm. Well, a lot of these guys that end up doing these shootings are on all types of antidepressants.
Say that again.
A lot of these guys that are mass killers, it turns out that they are on antidepressants. And it doesn't mean that they're causing it, but I think it's something that, you know, nobody really looks into. You know, some of these medicines out there today, you know, you hear these warnings on TV and they say they'll give you, you know, feelings that you want to gamble. You know, that's crazy. So what else can these things do?
So wait a minute. Now, okay, look. Antidepressants. Do you really believe that antidepressants can have an adverse effect on people to have them create violent acts? I thought that the whole premise or purpose of antidepressants were to make you feel better.
Well, there's always going to be a certain percentage of people who have bad reactions to any type of medicine. But, you know, I think this is something that's not even being looked at. You know, I'm pretty sure that, like, 60% of the mass shooters, you know, I've heard that they've been on some type of antidepressant. You know, it's not saying that it caused it, but, you know, maybe they're the 0.001% that had a bad reaction to it.
Now, I have to say, now I'm sick, and this conversation made me come over here, so.
Try not to cough.
Happy anniversary, by the way. This conversation made me come over here. Depression and medication, most of the time, does not cohabitate well together. They don't medicate you to be to not be depressed anymore. They medicate you so that you can sleep the rest of your life away, or you can walk around like a freaking zombie for the rest of your life. If they would medicate people with the right diets and the right foods, the right drinks, those things help more than medication does. Medication should only be given to people with depression, with severe depression and severe mental disabilities. I don't think that – and everybody is an individual, so you would have to study exactly what is going on in their brain in order to give them the right medication and the right dose of that medication. You would have to study each person as an individual because everybody's brain and chemical makeup is completely different. So you might not produce enough serotonin in the brain, whereas someone else may produce enough serotonin, but, you know, can talk themselves into a depression. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
There's so many different avenues to depression. You can't just put that on doctors to medicate people. And that's all the doctors want to do today is medicate everybody. And that shit doesn't work. It makes it worse. Just like pills. Oh, get on Chantix and stop smoking. But check this out. The side effects are your ass may want to kill yourself every 5 days, but you won't want to smoke. You might as well keep smoking. You're killing yourself slowly. Does that make any sense?
Absolutely not.
Sorry for my sick rant, everybody. I'm going back to the couch because I don't feel well.
Well, Sal put an interesting instant message up. He says, my ex-wife was bipolar. Do you ever stop being bipolar? That's an interesting question.
What
I
is
like that.
Bipolar?
Well, I think a lot of people. I know I'm bipolar. Anyway, Sal
don't
says
say that.
My
don't say that. Don't say you're bipolar because that's bullshit.
I was kidding. Anyway, Sal says my ex-wife was bipolar. It's more an issue when they come off the drug. The body and mind cannot handle it. She literally hallucinated when she came off the meds unsupervised. The wrong drug or the lack of the right drug is seriously dangerous. Shame on you. Shame you hit on this so late in the show. Great topic. Clinically diagnosed as bipolar, he says, not my opinion. And so he's saying that his wife was clinically diagnosed as bipolar.
Yeah, most of the women on my father's side of the family, on my biological father, my sperm donor's family, most of those women are bipolar. They all have some kind of mental or schizophrenic.
Really?
But, you know, changes.
Well, don't you think that...
It doesn't necessarily have to be a biological makeup.
Well, it is chemical, isn't it?
No.
Well, why wouldn't it be?
It's supposed to be chemical.
Well, I don't understand how it wouldn't be chemical. I mean, a chemical imbalance in the body...
But what is the chemical imbalance? There's so many different chemicals in the body.
Well, it's the synapse of the brain.
Okay, no,
well, I don't want to call it synapse, but it's a brain. It's brain activity.
It's when the synapse doesn't fucking happen.
Right, yeah. You're like cursing like a sailor today.
I'm sorry, I'm sick. I curse when I'm sick. You know that.
Yeah.
It's not like doctors don't really study. Oh, you have symptoms of. If I tell you what my symptoms are, there is a gazillion different things that could be wrong with me.
Mm-hmm.
How do you know that unless you are studying the brain waves, the brain activity in my brain? What doctors and what insurance are going to cover that for, you know, 3/4 of Americans in this country? It's not happening. They're misdiagnosing people all the time. Therefore, treating them with medication that then turns them into raving lunatics or into zombies that walk around and can't even talk. I pray my stepmother for one. Last time I saw her years and years and years ago, she was up and walking and talking and wouldn't shut the fuck up. The last time, and then this past time that I saw her, she couldn't even look at me.
Sal says Mary is spot on.
It's true. Boom, 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 Sally D, hit the fucking room.
All right. Jesus. What the cursing. Anyway, okay, so Sally D says you're spot on. I don't know anything about
this
subject.
It's a new year, damn it.
I'm just saying, I know very little about this. I told you guys this story. I accidentally took a Prozac, what I thought was Tylenol, and I was feeling great all day. If that's how it made
it got you high, jackass.
Well, I'm sure it did, but it gave me a feeling of sort of like, I don't want to say.
Euphoria.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
I was feeling.
If you would have dropped the E pill, the same thing would have happened to you.
No, that didn't do anything but make me nervous. That made me nervous, uncontrollably nervous. Yeah, that.
The bad E pill.
Apparently, I did. It's. Boom, boom, so, boom, Sally D is in the room.
So I just did a quick search on Google for mass killers and antidepressants, and I found a quick list of at least 10 mass killers who were on antidepressants, from fluvoxamine to Prozac, Paxil, all types of things, Xanax, Ambien. And it's just a short list. It's not a complete list of all mass killers.
Right.
And one of the points that I wanted to mention is that, so Mary's right, because it's a matter of they get them on these drugs and they try them. Basically, they put them on a drug to see how they respond. And so if that person doesn't follow what they tell them or decides to come off that drug on their own, so they develop this, the brain starts getting used to this drug, regardless of what it is, whether it's Paxil or any one of these drugs. And so then they just come off cold turkey. And it's extremely dangerous. And there were times where my ex would be like a zombie, like Mary said. And then other times she'd be a raving lunatic. I'd come home drunk and happy, and then I'd start getting a pounding from her, you know, out of nowhere. So, you know, the reason I think they don't want to touch on this or discuss this at length is because of the fact there are a lot of people on medication, dealing with medication. It's a sensitive subject, so it's easy to go after the guns. It's easy to go after the AR, whatever, which wasn't even taken out of the trunk. And I think that's the bottom line here. They're not going to deal with this from the perspective of this kid who was ill.
You know, it's interesting because I remember one day you have this thing that you do in jail on Rikers Island and in the Manhattan Detention Complex. They scream out at 6-7 o'clock in the evening.
Medication.
That's right. Officer comes in and says medication. Anyway, so.
And motherfuckers are running like the officer said, we're letting you go.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what they're doing.
So the line would fill up for medication. Now, I have to take a medication for a dermatology medication for my scalp. It's called doxycycline. And 1 in 1,000 African Americans. It's an antibiotic, right? 1 in 1,000 African Americans get this condition called. Why am I forgetting the name now?
I don't know.
Every guy in my family has it, and it's
just the
hands
too.
Right.
Alopecia?
No, it's called DeKalvin's. Something DeKalvin's. Why am I forgetting the first name? Anyway, so I'm standing online to get my new prescription of antibiotics, and this older guy had to be about a good 50, 60 years old. He's standing on the line with us. And he says to the crowd of us standing there, he says, man, I'm 63 years old, and I got to take arthritis medication. He said, when I was locked up here back in the 80s, maybe even the 70s, he said, I ain't never seen so many young people on this line to get medication. He says, when I was here, when I was a kid, when I was in my younger years, everybody, when medication was called, it was always the older guys. It was always the seniors getting up online. I'm looking at you kids now. You're all here getting medication. I knew one guy. This dude was, he was turning his drugs into liquor in jail. It was astonishing to me. And these people were getting stuff like antidepressants. They were getting liquids, and he goes down there every day to go get one shot of this stuff, and it was all psych meds.
Yeah.
I'm sitting there going, is that for real?
Yeah.
And well, is that like?
That's because we live in such a hand-holding, handy state of a country at this moment. Everybody has to have, little Johnny, don't stick your hand up like that. They're going to suspend you in school because you might offend little Susie sitting next to you that saw what happened in Newtown, Connecticut. What the fuck? That's why people are on psych meds, because this country is turned to a piece of shit.
Yeah, it's a scary place. It's a scary place. Oh, man. Oh, man. We got into the place. This is the perfect topic.
We'll have another conversation about this.
I think we should talk about this again tomorrow. I'm going to look up some stats. Edward and JC and the rest of you, let's get some stats. Let's talk about this tomorrow. I think that we need to truly investigate the mental state, or what we believe may be the mental state of somebody like Adam Lanza. We'll go to all the websites.
Yeah, because it's funny that you mentioned earlier. That you took a Prozac?
Yeah.
Yeah, I took something this week too by accident, and for life I can't remember the name of it.
The Prozac that I took?
No, it wasn't a Prozac. I think it was something like a Soma.
Really?
Yeah.
That's just frightening. Anyway,
it was a muscle relaxer though, but all I did was fight the sleep. But it felt good.
We'll see you guys tomorrow. It's Reason Radio. Same bad time, same bad channel. We'll see you then. Thank you, Sally D. And thank you, Edward in Connecticut and Dennis the Mass Menace. We'll be back tomorrow, folks. Hope you join us. 8 o'clock Eastern Time.
It's right here. Ain't nothing but the key. It's G. Follow me into the tunnel.